Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. By now it should be a familiar portion of Scripture, and we've mentioned in the past how that these verses should speak to us in importance and rank right there among the same kind of importance as those words spoken to Saul of Tarsus the day he got saved on the road to Damascus and was appointed an apostle by our Lord Jesus Christ. We read of that back in Acts 26, 16 through 18, the actual words that were spoken to him, but it took Paul about 25 years to get to where he could repeat all those things. And here we have in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, 80 words that are really written and spoken to us by our Apostle Paul. And we've talked about this every time we've got up here since we began this study. And so we won't belabor the point here again this morning. And we've actually come to the point where we've finished studying much of what is in Hebrews 12:1, and we're going to get into Hebrews 12:2, maybe even here this morning. But I want you to, before we get there, pay real close attention to how Hebrews 12:1 begins and how it ends, because if we can get the point there, we'll be able to receive the full benefit of what's being said in verse 2. Hebrews 12:1 begins with the two words, wherefore, seeing. And these two words are not to be taken lightly or not to be looked over without some reflection. And the words wherefore and therefore, as we've repeated several times in this study, should cause us to think back and reflect on the thought just presented prior to those words being written, and especially so in Paul's epistles. Wherefore and therefore, if you're not familiar with them, those two words, they gather together all the things that have taken place in the verses prior and put a spotlight on the very important things that follow thereafter in that verse or in the next verses. And if you remember that, it'll very much enhance your Bible study and unlock truths that we may have skipped or overlooked before. So all of that being said, the word wherefore in Hebrews 12:1 is the first word after the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 for the most part. And it actually looks back beyond that even, but those who are Bible students know that Hebrews 11, for the most part, spends its energy addressing the Old Testament worthies of faith. And it brings to our account and to our remembrance all of their accounts of faith and summarizes this into one chapter. But also you'll find in Hebrews 11 a sprinkling of we and us. So go back one chapter to Hebrews 11:1. We'll read the first three verses. And it says there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is a definition of faith. And it says in verse 2, for by it the elders, that is the Old Testament elders, obtained a good report. Through faith, we, that's you and me, understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, again, here we find faith defined, seeing that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. And then we have at the end of Hebrews 11 another reference to we and us, found in verses 39 and 40. This is another one sentence in two verses. Hebrews 11:39. And I apologize for my voice, but I got a little allergies going on. And yesterday morning I woke up, I couldn't even get my left eye to fully open. I was all swollen up and all this stuff drains into my throat. So I called Kevin and he prayed for me over the phone and started to feel a little better. So just bear with me today and see if you can just follow along. Hebrews 11:39. And these Old Testament worthies of faith, these heroes of faith, and these all, having a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for somebody. Who? Us. You and me. That they, without us, should not be made perfect or complete. So now, the word wherefore in Hebrews 12:1, then, in essence, references all of the Old Testament stories and people and events and puts the emphasis on the Old Testament full overcomers. And now, having drawn our attention to the full overcomers of old, this spotlight is now turned forward and focused upon we and us, the potential New Testament church age worthies of faith. As you know, the New Testament full overcomers from this church age will be that small rib portion company taken from the body of Christ, his church, and they will be forever known as the race course winners, which he addresses here in Hebrews 12:1. They are also called the bride, the Lamb's wife, in Revelation 21:9. It's not the whole church, okay? Now, again, Hebrews 12:1 begins with these two words, wherefore, seeing. And so how are we to see these things? How are we to behold these things? And we've discussed this thought previously in this study. And bridal saints know how to see the depths of the marvelous words of truth in the Word of God. And these things can only be clearly seen by having our spiritual eyes of faith enlightened by the Holy Ghost. And without our spiritual eyes being enlightened by the Holy Ghost, we cannot behold the deeper things of God. So it's paramount that we receive the Holy Ghost. As Paul asked those disciples, they're going into Ephesus, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And now, Jesus told his disciples back there in John 16:13 about the Spirit of Truth, who is the Holy Ghost, whose job it is to guide you into all truth, and to show you things to come. About 7 years after this time of John 16, the Lord Jesus Christ himself anointed our apostle Paul to write as part of his ministry the 100 chapters of Church Age Truth that we have to complete or fill up the Word of God, as is noted in Colossians 1:25. And then I want you to turn to Ephesians 1:18, and Scott's been going over this in his Sunday night class, and there's a lot of depth to it, a lot more than we're going to cover here this morning. And I had this in my notes before Scott ever got there last week in his class, and he's going to be there again tonight, Lord willing. But we read this in part of Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So what is in this prayer of Paul's, when he prays that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, what is he requesting of the Lord here? Well, he's asking that the Holy Ghost enlighten our spiritual eyes so that we too can behold the deeper truths of the Word of God, which the Holy Ghost inspired our apostle Paul to write in Scripture. If Scripture is written by the Holy Ghost, don't you suppose the Holy Ghost can enlighten our eyes as to what he had written? Yes. And of course, Paul writes more than this in Ephesians 1:18, praying also that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. Are you there yet? Or am I there yet? So, can you see these things with your Holy Ghost enlightened eyes of faith? And the answer is, I hope so. You can. It's there for us. Paul asks that this prayer be answered. So we find that eyes of faith see eternal things, and these eyes look forward. But they also learn from things that have taken place before. Do you believe that Noah built an ark? You see that with eyes of faith, don't you? Those things that happened to the Old Testament worthies of faith, you have to see them by eyes of faith, right? They happened. So if you have these kind of eyes of faith, these are wherefore seeing eyes, and wherefore seeing eyes of faith are found in the full overcomers in the midst of the throne of God there in Revelation 4:6-8. I think you know this to be true. You might want to look over there in Revelation 4:6-8. And who is addressed there? The New Testament worthies of faith. You have to see this. And you'll see there in Revelation 4:6-8, in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, four living creatures full of eyes before and behind there in verse 6 and in verse 8. They're full of eyes round about and within. Now, we know that Revelation was written in a typical language, a sign language, if you will. But what the Apostle John saw here is he was the bride of Christ. A group of saints here called the four living creatures. They were types like Jesus, if you will. And they were in the midst of the throne. In other words, they were right in the middle of the throne. Obviously, they were closest to Jesus. They weren't far off someplace. Their eyes before, behind, and within shows that they could see the past, They could see the future, and they could see within the present. Eyes that see within the present realize what's taking place from a spiritual aspect, that Jesus is coming soon. In other words, what they could see is what God has done, what he is going to do in the future, and what he is doing right now in the present tense, and what he is doing in their own hearts and lives. These things are clearly seen by seeing eyes of faith. And so it is the seeing eyes of faith that are being spoken of in Hebrews 12, 1, where it says, wherefore seeing. Now, and that's what we're going to talk about now. Think about this also. Paul's gospel message is a message of what God has done, what he is going to do, and what he is doing right now. Before, behind, and within. Paul wrote, now the just shall live by faith. Is that yesterday? Is that tomorrow, if the Lord tarries? It's now. Now the just shall live by faith. He wrote that in Hebrews 10:38. That's not that far back from where we're studying, so you can find it. Paul wrote, as we read this morning in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, right now. And then in his concluding statements of Hebrews, in Hebrews 13:20, Paul wrote, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This working of the Holy Ghost is taking place in the lives of spirit-filled believers now. And as you know, if you've been here for a while, and if you don't know, you will know here in a second, the God of peace is another name of the Holy Ghost. Now, imagine having this same power working in us that was wrought in Christ when the Holy Ghost, the God of peace, raised Jesus from the dead and set Jesus at God the Father's own right hand. And yet, this is the very same power that is working in us if you have received the Holy Ghost since you believed. The same power that's going to translate us. You can't translate yourself, because if you could, you would have done it. Right? It takes a power beyond what we have. Now, we mentioned this before, and you can look this up. But in total, the Apostle Paul references the God of peace, who is the Holy Ghost, 5 times in his epistles. And he writes about him also in Romans 15:33. And he says there, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Now. Okay. So go back to Hebrews 12:1-2. Because our text of Hebrews 12:1-2 deals with now. I'll show you how this is. And I want you to look at it this way, so follow along. Hebrews 12:1-2. And I'm going to add these words in here just to kind of make the point. Wherefore, now, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us now lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us now run with patience the race that is set before us, looking now unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Paul's gospel message, yes, indeed, it is a message of now. So we find that the words, wherefore, seeing, in Hebrews 12:1, are addressing bridal saints who have seen through the Old Testament scriptures what it takes to be a full overcomer. And then the final words of Hebrews 12:1 brings the attention to the race course runner not to only be aware of those who have gone on before to be full overcomers, but to now continue to focus on the race that is set before us. The race course runner has a goal in mind, a goal that is now set before us. And this is a goal that can only be seen by eyes of faith. So we find Hebrews 12:1 begins by looking back, and it ends with going now forward, more focused than ever. With that in mind, we get to Hebrews 12:2. That's quite an introduction to one chapter, to one verse, isn't it, that Paul gives there in Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that designed our race course. He put the obstacles that we need on our race course. We don't put them there. We don't even want them there. But we want to be full overcomers. We're going to have obstacles. So he's the author and finisher of our faith. What's Hebrews 12:1 and 2 about? Faith. Our faith. You're in my faith. We're the we and us faith, okay? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now we have a Bible that explains to us a plan. A lot of plans. It has an eternal plan in here. But do you realize if this whole area, let's say that represents eternity, so to speak, and we could look at a molecule here, that encompasses everything that's written here in scriptures. There's things that have happened far beyond behind us. There's things that are going to happen far beyond ahead of us. And we can't contain all that now. We'd do a good job if we can get all of what's in here during this lifetime in the Word of God. Right? So he has a plan. And we know what the plan is for us. But we got to just go with that. And if we want to have his best, and he'll take us through the beyond part of it. We can't, eye hasn't seen or imagined or ear heard what he's got prepared for us. So why try? We can waste our time trying. But let's believe what he's got for us right now. Okay? And the focal point of the race course runner has to be Jesus. We look unto Jesus. He designed our life for us, our path, where we're going. Okay? And he wants us to go forward. And you can spend hours thinking about the mistakes that we've made in the past. And that's just a hindrance. That's one of those things that we're supposed to leave behind. Let us lay aside every weight. These little anchors that'll befall us. And we're to look up to Jesus. I'm not to look at what Hagin's doing, what Ray's doing, what Scott's doing, what John's doing back here. Because then my eyes are not looking up. I'm not looking unto Jesus. And I don't want to be a hindrance to others running the race either. And, maybe I have been in a way. We offend people and we don't even try to. And I'm good at it. Okay? And then I can be real good at it, but I don't want to be that way. I want to be looking unto Jesus. And we should all be encouraged to be looking unto Jesus. And so Hebrews 12:2 tells us where we're to have our focus, and that is looking unto Jesus, because he is the author and finisher of our faith. And we're to do this now. And we're to do this 24/7. Not just now. There's not a time limit on this. 24/7 means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and however many years you got left, okay? I heard a Holy Spirit-filled preacher the other day on television. He said he wakes up thinking about Jesus. He thinks about Jesus all day long, and he goes to sleep thinking about Jesus. You think he's looking unto Jesus? I think he is. Okay? Jesus is on his mind 24/7. What's on your mind 24/7? You? Or Jesus? Or what he's doing in your life? And what he's done for you? And what he's doing with you? Now, realize that all full overcomers from this church age will have Jesus on their heart and mind 24/7. And I think back over my life, I know he's there all the time. And I've had some problems that came on pretty fast in an airplane one day. And he brought those problems and he took me through it. And an event happen on a 24-minute flight from Los Angeles down to San Diego, and it had never happened to anybody ever before what had happened to me. And I lost all my instruments, and I was the captain, and that wasn't supposed to happen. And when you go to emergency power, we were taught you could get all that back. And I did, and I didn't get it back. And what do you say? You know, Lord, there's not a procedure in the book for this. What do you want me to do? And the Lord took care of it. And by the time I got on about 800 feet in the air, the problem disappeared. And then it reappeared after we got on the ground. Now, who did that? And I called my chief pilot and asked him if he wanted me to write up a report about it, because it would ground all the MD-80 airplanes in the country if I did. He said, I'll take care of it. And they found that they had installed a wrong relay in the airplane before I had taken the airplane, and that it had caused these problems. And after that, took about 6 months, they wrote a procedure in the flight manual for the next guy if they ever had this problem again. But I know the Lord put that there for me and took me through it. I had a lady on an airplane one time, sitting in the back. She says, what was the scariest thing that ever happened to you on an airplane? I said, do you really want to know? And she looked at me and she goes, no. So, you know, think about it before you ask these kind of questions. I could go into greater detail with you than that, but believe me, you know, things come up in your life that the Lord put there that nobody else can help you with because he put you in that spot. And you might not be able to talk to anybody about it, but you can talk to him. You can look unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher, put it this way, of your faith. Yeah. And so he should be on your mind and on your lips and on your heart 24/7. You realize this all wasn't in my notes, don't you? Okay. So, okay, probably a good thing. But the Apostle Paul, he too realized and had this on his mind 24/7. Look at his epistles. Jesus was on his mind. He's looking unto Jesus 24/7. And the Lord took him through some unique things too, didn't he? And there were some people with him in some of these things. But how many people got bit by the viper there on the island of Melita? One. And he just shook it off. Thank you, Lord. You know, this thing just didn't happen to me. This is one of those things that was ordered on my path. And because of that one event, how many people got saved on that island? We're still talking about it 2,000 years later. He was looking unto Jesus, wasn't he? And he probably didn't feel very good after being about drowned out there in the sea, you know, and cold and wet. And just barely got next to the fire and started to get a little warmth when that viper ran out and bit him. The viper is a snake, a poisonous one. I don't like snakes. There's only one way to run with patience the race that is set before us. And that course is put there by Jesus. And the only way to run with patience the race that is set before us is by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And there's only one way to become a race course winner. And that is by looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now realize, we've just barely begun introducing some of the thoughts that are here in Hebrews 12:2. It took us 11 months to get through Hebrews 12:1. And I have no idea when the Lord's coming or how long we're going to be here. But we need to consider these things. These are good thoughts. And Hebrews 12:2 has us looking up, okay? Hebrews 12:1 had us first looking back, recalling the Old Testament worthies of faith, and then looking at now where the author and finisher of our faith has currently placed us. But if we're going to finish a winner, we need to be looking up. And so Hebrews 12:2 has the goal-oriented race course runner seeing by faith where he or she is to be looking. And it's not to the president or somebody else. You used to be looking up, looking unto Jesus 24/7. We're going to run out of time here, but I want you to look that word looking up, and that's found here in Hebrews 12:2. We'll get to it next time, Lord willing. But I found it kind of interesting, just looking the word looking up, that it's only found 24 times in Scripture. You'd think it'd be found more than that, wouldn't you? 24 times in our King James Version of the Bible. In 24, we learned in our meaning of the Bible number study, is a number that has to do with the priesthood. In Hebrews 4:14 tells us who our great and high priest is. And it says there in Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. And if you didn't know who that was, he explains it. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. So we kind of get a double emphasis here in Hebrews 12:2 of who we are to be looking unto. We are to be looking unto Jesus, the Son of God, our great high priest that has passed into the heavens. And then, as you look this up this week, the word looking, it seems like for further emphasis, the Holy Ghost has the Apostle Paul write the Greek word aphorio. It's number 872 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it's translated as looking here. And it's only found this one time in Scripture. It's unique. We find them a lot of things one time. That's important to note. Aphorio, if I'm saying it right, means to look away from one thing so as to see another. What thing are we going to focus on? The thing that's holding us back, or the thing that's, which is Jesus, that's taking us up? We don't want to call Jesus a thing, but let's, you know, to look away from one thing so as to see another. We must see Jesus. We're looking, aphorio, unto Jesus. Hope that made some sense. Lord willing, we'll pick up from there next time.